It's amazing to me how much God loves us and the gift that he has given. The grace, the greatest gift is that grace that saves us. Amen? We need to hold on to that grace and know that it is sure and that we have life. And then knowing that, we can't help but be still. We have to shout it from the rooftops. But God does give us his amazing grace.
Still home.
Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Amen.
If you can keep that with you, may I say, that is the key to every relationship that you have. Letting His grace still amaze you. Thank you, Evangelina. Because if you are amazed by the grace that He gives to you, guess what? You almost have no choice but to give that same grace to the others around you. If you take it for granted, well, then you can react the way you want to react, do whatever you feel in the moment. But if you live as a grateful recipient of the grace of God through our Lord Jesus Christ, you cannot but give that grace to others. So I pray that that is your experience. Let's pray together now. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank You that You are here with us. We thank You that we are able to come here into Your presence as dearly beloved children, knowing that through Jesus, You have poured out Your grace upon us, knowing that You have no reservations about accepting us through Him as Your children, full citizens in Your kingdom, free to come into Your presence here and able to look forward to the wonderful day when Jesus will come and we get to be in Your presence physically forever. Please now, by Your Spirit, speak to us in Jesus' name. Amen. Normally, we wait until after Thanksgiving weekend, to talk about Thanksgiving. But you know, that's kind of backwards, isn't it? If you're getting ready to get your thankful on, which of course is not something you should just do episodically on a holiday, but if you're getting ready to get your thankful on, you gotta learn and prepare now so that on Thanksgiving, you're pretty doggone good at it, okay? All right, you want to get good at it? You want to get the Bible picture of it? We are going to focus on giving thanks this morning. As has been shared with you, we have our Thanksgiving offering today. But before we go to that, I want to focus on what God's call to you is in relationship to giving thanks. And it's kind of improbable. You've heard the verse before. You've probably even memorized it, but it's among those things. What was it? I saw someone posted a picture. I should have shown it to you. It shows Jesus walking on the water, and it shows Peter just getting out of the boat. And the message is something to the effect of, "Lord, I will do whatever You say, as long as it's reasonable and logical." Now, the verse that I'm going to put on the screen for you from 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 18, on the face of it, is not reasonable or logical. What do you think? "In everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God." You've been struggling all your life. How do I find the will of God? It's right here, folks. "For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you." In everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. By the way, if you work in an office, I'm sorry, I don't mean to traumatize you by putting your inbox and your outbox up here on Sabbath morning, but you'll understand very shortly. Because, look at this, "In everything, give thanks." That's your inbox, by the way, the "in everything." "In everything," and the "give thanks," guess what that is? That's your outbox. "In everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you." So we're going to start with some easy things, okay? So first of all, okay, we got our directional arrows. You found out in Philippians, I love directional arrows. Here we've got our directional arrows. So, first item in the inbox. How hard is that, huh? In everything. Can you include this in your in everything that goes into your inbox? In everything, do what? Give thanks. That was easy, right? Let's do that again. It's just too cute. Okay. So, the baby, who doesn't love a baby? In everything, give thanks. You can do that, right? Okay, let's go to the next one. Let's see. All right, here we go. Ah, a nice house. That's not as cute as a baby, though, right? Because, I mean, well, I was going to say, because a house you have to take care of, but, well, baby, you definitely have to take care of. So anyway, all the upkeep and everything. But I mean, if you got a new nice house coming in your inbox, right, in everything, would that be too hard to say thank you? Absolutely not. In everything, give thanks. I heard some voices that just went through that experience. All right, so next item. Oh, love and romance. Finding out that someone can't stand life without you. Can you include that in your in everything? In everything, do what? Give thanks. You can handle that, right? All right. Well, let's try another one. Uh-oh. You're out of money. Or you meet someone who's out of money, who's trying to see you as their solution, right? Play either side of this one. You're out of money, or you're meeting someone who's out of money and who sees you as the answer to their problems. Is this part of in everything? In everything, do what? Give thanks. Why? Do you remember that part? For this is the will of God for you in Christ Jesus. In everything, give thanks. Oh, cool. I get a real live example of that right now. I left my notes somewhere else. In everything, give thanks. Why? Because they were inside my bulletin. That's why. No. For this is the will of God for you in Christ Jesus. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus. All right. In everything, give thanks. Another one. Some of us experienced this week. When you lose a loved one way or another, I want you to notice, and some people debate this theologically and going back to the Greek. It doesn't say for everything, does it? Some people would push it that far. And in some ways, I can understand when they do that. But I think it's very important why it says, in everything, give thanks. I am sorry, I cannot see a scenario in which I will be thanking God for the activities of ISIS. Can you? I cannot imagine that scenario that I would thank God for the activities of ISIS. I will thank him for how he's able to work everything together for good and to do some things through those circumstances, but I cannot, to the end of my days, picture giving God thanks for what they're doing. Can't imagine. I can't imagine a day that I will ever thank God for Hitler. I cannot imagine a day that I would truly thank God for anyone's death or anyone's suffering of any kind. I cannot imagine that. But it doesn't say for. It says in everything, give thanks. In everything, give thanks. Why is this possible? This is possible because of the one thing, the one who made it all possible. The one who changes everything when he comes. You remember when we were talking about Paul last week and how he was keeping score according to his one system? He thought he had it all together. Everything changed. His world turned upside down when Jesus came, because it changed the meaning of everything in his life. It made the same things that seemed important to be worthless. And it gave meaning to other things that he had no idea were the treasures of his life. And this is who we have the privilege of encountering once and for all, day by day, to encounter him where? In how much? Everything. In everything, we are able to encounter him. I didn't have this scripture in my notes, but I love, you know, I love quoting Philippians 4, verse 6 and 7, talking about these things that we don't naturally want to come into our inbox. He says, be anxious for nothing, but in everything, with prayer and supplication, present your requests to God. And what does he say will happen? And the peace which passes all understanding will guard your hearts and minds. How? In what way? Through what? In Christ Jesus. Anything that's happening in your life, any curveball that's thrown your way, any disaster impending or actually upon you, is completely changed when you know that you are in Christ Jesus, that you are in his hands, that he is overseeing your life, that he is with you always until the end of the age, and that he will never leave you nor forsake you, that you have a place secure for you in heaven after all this is over because of Jesus. It changes everything, and you are able in everything to give thanks. I want to take you to a scene by the Sea of Galilee. You can find it in Luke chapter 8 and verse 26 through 39 if you want to look it over as we talk about it. And in this scene is a poor, tormented soul. We don't know how he got in this condition, life choices, etc. But nonetheless, here he was, Jesus, coming up on the shore, encountering this man full of demons. So much so that when Jesus asked those demons to identify themselves, they said, "We are legion, for we are many." What is your name? Legion, for we are many. This man's mind was not his own. He was tormented. He was outcast. He was out of control. All the consequences of his life and beyond were upon him. Tormented. I don't know what his experience was like being demon-possessed. I don't know if he was aware of it every minute or if he was just lost in it and experiencing it, and yet somewhere in his soul feeling the pain of never being able to be close to anybody, of being rejected by anybody, being frightening to people. But what happened there on the shore? He encountered Jesus. Jesus came to his in everything. And after that conversation, Jesus told those demons to be cast out. You remember what their request was? Anybody who knows this story? What was their request? Yeah, their request was... What was their request? Pigs. That's right. Their request was pigs. They wanted to be thrown into the pigs for some reason. I have no clue. I do not understand the demonic mind. But they felt it was better to go into the pigs, and what were they afraid of? They called it the abyss, a place of nothingness. And so Jesus said, "Very well then," and he cast them out, and they went into the pigs. Can you imagine this man, newly in his right mind, seeing graphically illustrated before him just what he had been under? As he watched, I think it was over 1,000 pigs, wasn't it? Probably could check the book if I wanted to. He watched, I think it was over 1,000 pigs run and drown themselves, and he newly in his right mind, newly at peace, was able to see, that's what was in me? This is the power that I was under, and now I am free? Of course, you know that pigs were important to the economy in that place. And so the herders who had been watching over those pigs, probably not the people who owned them, but responsible to the people who owned them, watched what to this man was an amazing and wonderful scene. To them was, I'm going to lose my job. And then when their people that they worked for came on the scene and saw what was going on, their livelihood gone. And so they said to Jesus, being able to see this man clothed and in his right mind, weighing that over against the value of their pigs, and said, this man has got to go. Talking about Jesus. This man has got to go. He's not good for the economy. And so Jesus, being the gentleman that he is, was preparing to leave. And you know what this poor man felt when that was happening. Can you imagine? He's just been completely out of control, a tormented soul, watching graphically the powers that had ruined his life and made him completely unable to be around anybody. Nobody could be safe around him. All in those pigs leaving, going into the sea, and now he feels at peace. And of course, he's with Jesus, and what can you help but imagine he saw in Jesus' face but love, acceptance, kindness, peace, a for sure embrace that perhaps he had never known in his whole life. And when Jesus was preparing to get into the boat, what did the man say? He said, please, let me go with you. Here's how it says. Now the man from whom the demons had departed begged him that he might be with him. I can just imagine. He didn't have much practice at being in his right mind. He didn't know if he could hold on to it. He didn't know if it was here to stay, if he could be okay. He begged Jesus that he might be with him. But Jesus sent him away, saying, return to your own house and tell what great things God has done for you. Tell what great things God has done for you. Really, what he was asking him to do, he's saying, this is your job. He could have said, this is the will of God for you in Christ Jesus. This is your job before the people in your life to give thanks for what I have done for you. This was Jesus talking. Before the people that have been in your life, before the people who have known you before and now after, tell them what great things God has done for you. What was Jesus' design here? What was Jesus' plan here? Jesus' plan was actually proven to be an effective and fantastic plan. Because when Jesus came back to this area, sometime later, what happened? People came to trust him. People accepted his message. People accepted him as who he was and believed in him. Why? Because this man had gone around and told what great things God had done for him. This man had given thanks with everything that came into his inbox, transformed by encountering Jesus Christ. He was able to go and with his outbox send the memo. Jesus saves. Jesus changes everything. Jesus is who he says he is. You gotta believe in him. And people did when Jesus came back. Isn't that why we're here? The scripture gives the invitation in the last book of the Bible, Revelation chapter 22, verses 17 and 18. We, as Seventh-day Adventist Christians, find our calling and our message in the last book of the Bible, don't we? To go to every nation, tribe, tongue, and people, to give the good news, the everlasting good news, to tell about a God who created us, to tell about a God who redeemed us, to tell about a God who cherishes our company such that he's given us a Sabbath rest to have special time with him, who's given us his word to protect us against error and deception, and who's called us to live that life transformed by the gospel, the life of keeping the commandments and the faith of Jesus. He's called us to give this to the world, and I love this summary at the end of Revelation in chapter 22. And here is the invitation summarized. This is from the Father, who because of the entrance of sin into this world had the unbearable experience of being separated from the creation that he loved, of having our iniquities cut off between them, who sent his only begotten Son that whoever believes in him should not perish, who went through, my God, why have you forsaken me? Because Jesus, who knew no sin, became sin for us that we might become the righteousness of God, all for this one reason, because he wants his children back. He wants the invitation to go back, and so the invitation is very simple. And the Spirit and the bride say what? Come. That's why he sent that formerly demon-possessed man all around that area to give his tale of thanksgiving and transformation. And the Spirit, you know who the bride is, by the way? The bride is the church. In Revelation it says it. In Ephesians chapter 5 it says it. The church, the people of God, are the bride of Christ. And the Spirit and the bride say, come. So do you have a part in this? Church? Yes, you have a part in this. By yourself? No, notice the bride doesn't do it alone, right? And the Spirit and the bride say, come. And let him who hears say, come. And then, you notice how this includes everybody. If you're in the church, it includes you. If you're hearing the message, it includes you. And then it says, let him who thirsts, come. Whoever desires, it says in this translation, I love whosoever from the old King James. Whoever desires, whosoever will, do you remember that? Whosoever will, surely meaneth me. Do you remember that old song? Whosoever will, whoever desires, let him take the water of life freely. We are here to give that invitation. We are here, like that demon-possessed man, to open the doors of this whosoever wide open to the world. Do you understand that? Do you see that? We are here to take whatever has happened in our encounter and our encounters with Jesus and share it with the world. Our story, the truth that set us free, the Savior who met us and meets us where we are, and to tell what he has done, and to offer this invitation, whosoever will, whoever desires, come, let him take of the water of life freely. This is what happened to me when I came and took the water of life freely. I went from being a fearful kid who was afraid of so many things to being someone who has confidence in life because I met Jesus. I am able to get up in the morning talking to him and have peace about the day that is coming because every day I meet Jesus and he changes everything. Even if I know there's a situation I need to deal with that I would just as soon not, I'm able to be okay because in everything I am able to meet Jesus. And you can too. We have our offering today that we are taking, an offering that's going towards a special project. We want one of the jobs that we have as a church family Not to promise you that it's always going to be easy to speak for Jesus. Not to promise you that it's always going to be easy for you to tell your story of what Jesus has done in your life. Not to promise you that it's always going to be easy to proclaim the gospel in the way according to your gifts that God has set you up to do it. But as a church family, should we let it be any harder than it has to be? Should we equip you with every tool that you possibly can need that we could possibly provide to make it as easy and simple for you to do the job that he has called us to do, to be part of this Spirit and the bride saying, come to this world? That's what we want to do. And so some of you might have heard that one of the tools that we want to put in your quiver, in your toolbox, pardon me, mixing metaphors, one of the tools that we want to put in your toolbox so that you can share what God does for you is we want to have our services here at English Oaks available on the internet with video and streaming and archived so that you can, if someone far away doesn't have access to a church, you can share with them and show them how that they can participate and experience to some extent. Of course, it's not like being here. I hope that you never get the idea that watching church on the web or on TV is anything like being here. But so that you can share. And if God touched you in a church service, that you, by simply sharing a link, can share it with someone in your life in an email, on a Facebook page, and say, here, this touched me, and I know what your life is going through right now, and I think maybe this would be a way that can help you put your trust in Jesus in a way that will bless your life. We want to make this available. And so this has been our project that we have designated for our Thanksgiving offering so that we can share the story of Jesus in our lives in an effective way. This is not the only tool. We are looking at many different ways that we want to help you to be able to share Jesus with people in your lives. And so our Thanksgiving offering this year is dedicated to launch this project. It takes $40,000 to get the equipment and to the software and everything that we need to do it. And we want to do that for those over in Golden Oaks to make it so that they can have as much of a full church experience when they're not well enough to come over here. So please, I would invite you to look at this as an opportunity to give thanks, as an opportunity to consider how God has blessed you, how he has brought you through and is bringing you through the circumstance of your life so that we can share the gifts that he has put on our hearts to give and make this possible. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for blessing us. We thank you for giving us Jesus, who changes everything. Please, Father, we ask that as we look at the circumstances of our lives, that we will never see them without Jesus right in the way, changing everything in the way it looks. That no matter how fearsome or painful something may be, that we can see Jesus bringing us through, that we can see your promises delivering, that we can place our hope and trust in you, and especially in the promise of your soon coming. We thank you, we thank you, we thank you. Anything that we could imagine that you would do to have us back in your family, you have gone beyond. You have gone through more. Thank you, Jesus, for suffering for us. Thank you for interceding for us. And thank you that you are here today. In Jesus' name, amen. I would like you, as we do this, some of you who have been here before for Thanksgiving offerings know how this works. We have a basket right here. And we just invite you to make your procession as you will. And come on up. We are going to be singing a hymn, Now Thank We All Our God, as you do that. It's number 559. I'm sorry we don't have it on the screen. Just come on up. Now thank we all our God. Thank you. 559. Oh, man.